This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King, who represents the Hawkeye State's 5th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Small Business, Agriculture, and Judiciary Committees. He has also, for the third consecutive time, voted against a continuing resolution to fund the government moving forward here in fiscal year 2011, since there's still been no final agreement on a budget for the year. But we appear to be very close to that following the deal struck late Friday night among President Obama, Speaker Boehner, and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me on, Greg. I appreciate it.
All sides seem to be cheering Friday night. You were among about two dozen plus Republicans in the House that said no to this. What was not in there that you thought needed to be in there, or was in there that you found unacceptable?
The primary piece was that going into this continuing resolution, the debate and the negotiations on it, we had a perfect opportunity, a rare historical opportunity, to cut off all the funding to Obamacare, the $105.5 billion that's automatically appropriated, that has generated $23.6 billion that's sitting on President Obama's table, ready and now being used to implement Obamacare. Even in the event of a shutdown, the bitter irony would have been that it would have shut down a lot of offices in government, but it would not have shut down the implementation of Obamacare. That's the number one piece. It's the biggest piece for me. And then the dollar figure on the budget cuts went from $61 billion, which was very hard fought, down to $38.5 billion or so. I could have lived with that if we'd have cut off the funding to Obamacare, but we did not. And I am pledged to oppose any CR that doesn't unfund Obamacare, and I'm pledged also to work every day to get it repealed in every way that I can.
Two quick follow-ups. First of all, there's been some confusion on the $38.5 billion. Does that include the $10 billion that was cut in the two shorter continuing resolutions, or is this on top of that?
Well, we didn't really have an opportunity to review the language when the bill came out. It is my understanding that it includes the previous $10 billion or so that we pushed through. So from the broader piece of this, it's not as big as one might think.
Also, as part of this deal, were standalone votes on both funding for Planned Parenthood as well as the president's health care plan. That was kind of the quote-unquote compromise struck there. What did you make of that? Obviously, it wasn't enough to get your vote, but what did you make of that part of the negotiation?
I thought I saw leadership taking the Obamacare issue off the table for about the last 3 weeks as we walked up towards this final agreement. And I was surprised to see the proponents of Obama were part of those negotiations, and then that being one of them, a vote up or down in the Senate. But, you know, we know how they're going to vote. There already was a closure vote on the repeal of Obamacare, H.R. 2, and that there were 47 votes to repeal, and I think all the Democrats voted against that closure vote. I hope that it's not so that some of the Democrats can vote no on repeal of Obamacare and still have it fail in the Senate just because they might need some protection for the election coming up. But meanwhile, I think it moves the ball down the field a little ways, and it lets America see where everybody stands, both on Obamacare and funding for Planned Parenthood. That's good. It's not dramatic enough, though, to get my vote.
One of the stories we've heard today is that the chairman of the Republican Study Committee, the Coalition of House Conservatives, Congressman Jordan, says that leadership is going to need votes from Democrats if they want to get this resolution passed to fund the government through the rest of the fiscal year. Does that suggest to you, sir, that this is not a done deal, or that it probably is? They just need a little bit of Democratic help because a few dozen conservatives like yourselves probably won't support it.
Well, I don't think that there's a movement out there to try to take the bill down. That's one thing that if Democrats are very unlikely to vote on it, to vote for the rule that would bring it to the floor, that's where it could take the bill down, and it only takes 26 Republicans voting no to do that. I just don't see that kind of effort on the part of Republicans to take it down in that way, but on the other hand, you still need those same votes for final passage and a majority in the House. I think it passes, but I think there's a strong statement here that fiscal conservatives that don't believe that the $38.5 billion is enough, those who don't want to fund Planned Parenthood, those who understand that Obamacare is the issue of our time and must have its funding cut off with every means at our disposal, I add all of that up. There's a strong message going that there's a good, solid core of conservatives that think we should fight harder and that this is important enough to have this battle. And that's what I'm the best I can see today without talking to all of my colleagues.
Congressman, assuming that the vote does go the way the leaders expect it to this week, the next major fiscal debate on the horizon seems to be whether or not to raise the debt ceiling. Just today, we heard the Obama administration saying it wants a clean raising of the debt ceiling. No conditions attached. Obviously, Speaker Boehner, Leader Cantor, many other folks have said that the only way that this is going to happen is for major concessions on spending reductions, perhaps even steps towards a mandatory balanced budget. What's your sense on what should be included in conjunction with a raising of the debt ceiling and what probably will be included?
I don't know how many Democrats will vote to raise the debt ceiling, so I don't have a feel on their side. But I will say that the people that are pledged to vote against raising the debt ceiling, I believe are in great enough number that it will take Democrats to pass it. And of course, they're inclined to do that as long as they can get their spending. But I would think that there will be some things added to that package. Even though they want a clean vote on this, they still have to come up with 218. The constitutional amendment to require a balanced budget is something I've been an original co-sponsor of for a long time. Congressman Bob Goodlatte from Virginia has led on this and done a good job. But I don't know if we can get something like that leveraged. It's a constitutional amendment, and if it should pass the two-thirds of the House of two-thirds of the Senate, it still has to be ratified by three-quarters of the state. So that's a really heavy lift to try to get something moving on that and think we're going to accomplish something tangible. I don't want symbolism. I want something tangible. So whether we can get an agreement to get some large components of, let's just say, the Ryan budget, or for me, I will be taking a look at Obamacare, the piece of that again, and that's next high leverage point. I've been talking about that for some time, but I've turned my focus on the CR. And if the CR passes, we've got, a month or maybe about a month or maybe a little bit better to get to a conclusion on the pieces of the debt ceiling. And that's going to take, I think, the members coming together on a single issue and standing on that single issue. I hope it's Obamacare from my own perspective.
Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King is a representative of his state's 5th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Committees on Agriculture, the Judiciary, and Small Business. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.